Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
And we'll hear what he's got to say about the video. That's the main thing everybody wants to ask about. Some people want to ask about, you know, the 45-point blowout, but, I mean, it is what it is. They haven't played. They haven't practiced. They didn't come out like they were remotely ready, because they weren't. I mean, that's why you practice. If that weren't the case, you wouldn't practice. Why would you waste all that time if it's not doing any good? So that's what you get when you don't practice against a team that had come off playing much more of a normal schedule. They played a game earlier in the week, and that's the way it goes. So we'll see. And excuse me, how they bounce back against this Notre Dame team, we shall see. But I know he's gonna whether he likes it or not, he's gonna have to address the video, because that's got a lot of people talking, not only about just how it looked, the optic of it, if you want to call it that, but I think more serious nature with the team that's been so derailed because of COVID. You know, to have that kind of a image in the middle of December, right in the throes of the thing, to be jumping all around, and no masks and all that stuff. So for what it's worth, we'll be listening to that in just a matter of moments. And
yeah, there's a silhouette. It's almost Hitchcock-like. I don't know if it's Kenny or if it's Coach Mack. I think it's Kenny. He was just, changing the microphone. I'm going to hit an ID real fast. Hold that thought.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh, and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfurt.
As you were.
Chris Mack's presser, which is coming up momentarily, is presented by U of L Health, making the impossible possible. That's the power of you. Or as it says here, that's the power or you. Because we can't ever.
That's my fault. That's my fault. God, I'm having one this morning.
Be a number, not a number.
That's
still my favorite.
That was one of the best ones. Yeah. No, it's presented by. Read it correctly. Sorry, that's my fault. No, I know, but.
Chris Max Presser, presented by U of L Health, making the impossible possible. That's the power of you. Get it? U of Health. Get it? U of L Health. You. Power of you.
Yeah. Ding, ding. I promise you I'm not on drugs. It's very important.
Good.
But I swear I heard Phil Baker earlier. I'm going to do a side-by-side, and I'm going to see if you agree with me. He was flattered by that. I thought I saw Brian Hall on this Zoom, but it's actually Michael McCammon. And I thought Paul Rogers was wearing rubber gloves that, you know, you used to clean. And it's just a weird reflection on his video. So am I hallucinating? What the hell is going on? Are you going to say anything or just totally leave me out here to dry?
I don't know where the hell you were going, so I just got out of your way. Whatever happened with the thing outside the studio the other day? I never saw anything on the news about it. They ever figure out what the hell it was?
I don't know. There was a standoff, and then, you know, it looked like everything was peaceful. Supposedly, they went through the trunk to get him. I don't know.
We got to stop calling it the trunk. It's the back of an SUV. A trunk is like a sedan where you put the top, you know, slam it down, go through the trunk. They opened the back door of an SUV.
That's fair, but I mean, then does an SUV not have a trunk then? Because that's what the back thing is. Hold that thought. Chris Mack at the podium.
Okay, we're now joined by Coach Mack. He'll start with some opening remarks, and then we'll take questions.
Just a second.
Got you, Coach.
Yep. You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know, I know most of you seen the video, and I want to take a few minutes to address it. If I give you some context first and then give you my thoughts after that, I would tell you that, you know, most of you know, it was after the Kentucky game. You know, I was having the Mack family Christmas. We had a 3-day break immediately following the game. So, you know, I was having Christmas at the house. A few neighbors walked over to my house, and they happened to be really, really good friends with Kenny Payne. Golfing buddies, they go way back, hang out together. They've known him. I don't know Kenny that well, but Eric and his buddy, really, really good friends with Kenny. They thought it'd be funny to FaceTime him, text him, and give him grief for the game. And that's what they did. And obviously it led to the video that was then sent to Kenny. And so that was the context. It was a private video. Obviously it's not private today. It's why I'm talking to you guys. But it was a joke amongst buddies to Kenny. How it got out, I have no idea, and it's really irrelevant, although Kenny didn't get it out. So, but, you know, I recognize, hey, listen, the position I'm in at Louisville, you know, I got to do right by my players. And, you know, two things I think really stick out about the video to me, if you don't have much context, and that is, number one, COVID. You know, I've like we all have for the last year or so, I have great respect for it. We've had to do everything under the sun, from eating in our own rooms at hotels, to wearing masks, to conducting film sessions on the basketball court rather than the film room, just like everybody else has had to sacrifice. Now, I'll say this, when people come over to my house, which hasn't been very often since last March, I'm probably a violator, and obviously was that night, and neighbors or friends stopped by not putting on my mask around the house. And so not a good look. And so for that, I got to do better. You know, the second thing is, the first thing I really thought of was Cal Perry. You know, I didn't want him to think it was some shot, you know, that this was directed out to the World Wide Web and that I was trying to send a message to him. So that was the first person I called when I was aware of the video yesterday morning. I just wanted to be able to clear the air and tell him the great respect that I have for him and his program and the job that he's done. And that's how I feel, you know. And so I wanted him to know it was a joke to Kenny Payne, and obviously it went sideways. So, you know, as I tell my players, when you do things that, you know, happen in the spotlight, you got to own it. And fortunately about me, I own things. And so I live and learn by them, and we'll move forward. But that's sort of the context of the video. If I offended anybody, I feel bad for doing that. But that wasn't what the intention was by any means, but it's neither here nor there. So talk to Vince about it, and just don't want it to be a distraction for our team any more than it's been. I want to talk about Notre Dame and move forward.
Any questions? We have a question from Tim Sullivan. If you have a question, drop it in the chat, please.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, you've acknowledged that the COVID issue is uppermost in your mind on this. Three soccer players were dismissed from the program over failure to observe safety protocols. Do you think that you are deserving of any kind of discipline?
You know, Tim, that's not really my judgment call. You know, as I said, I made an error. You know, it's not like I invited everybody over to a big party at the house, but you know, be a big boy and whatever comes my way comes my way. But no.
Thank you.
Matt, you're up.
Hey, Coach. Matt McGavick with Sports Illustrated. Obviously, after that loss, it was pretty demoralizing the way it panned out. But how did you guys respond over the next couple of days in practice?
Well, Matt, we've only had one practice. Obviously, we had, you know, yesterday's practice. You know, I really liked our guys' response. You know, it's been a wild deal. You know, on again, off again. You know, I can't imagine the players, you know, sitting in their dorm wondering, do we have practice today? You know, are we going to play again this Saturday? Just the way the schedule's unfolded. But, you know, I thought our response yesterday was a really good one. As I told our team, you know, after the game, we needed to have the best two practices of the year. We're waiting here on practice number two that I'm about to walk into. And if it's anything like yesterday, then we're going to get a whole lot better. Now, if that's good enough to beat Notre Dame, I don't know. But, you know, we didn't perform well. We didn't do a lot of things well at Carolina. They had a lot to do with it. But I think we'll be better tomorrow. And I really liked our team's response yesterday.
Shannon. Just quick to start, Dre Davis looked like he had a thigh bruise in the last game. How's he doing?
He looks fine, Shannon. You know, Fred gave him treatment that night. You know, he had full range of motion the next day. He went through yesterday's practice, you know, surprisingly, without any interruption, without having to sit down any drills. Dre's a very tough kid, as you know. And, you know, he's bounced back, and I didn't see any ill effects yesterday in practice.
Thank you.
And then to follow up on that, do you expect Josh Nickleberry to be back for this game?
I don't. You know, Josh has tested negative a few days in a row now, you know, 3-4 days in a row, and he's just sick. You know, I think they're trying to get strep test, flu test, figure out what's going on. But you know, it's not COVID, and he just doesn't feel well.
Jerry Tipton?
Yeah, Chris, just one thing about the video. You said you called John Calipari first thing. What was his reaction?
Gracious as always. You know, Jerry, I mean, he was understanding. I think he understood the context, you know, and anytime I've ever dealt with you know, Coach Calipari, he's been great. So he offered a few words of advice, which I'll just keep between he and I, but I was appreciative of his response.
Thank you.
Fred and then Jody.
Sorry, I'm having computer problems. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Oh, awesome. Coach, you know, obviously time is short. You just have a couple of weeks left in the regular season. What do you tell the guys about both the challenges ahead in terms and also the opportunities, you know, that the weird vibe you have with all these on-again, off-again things, and obviously in the net rankings you've dropped a lot, but you still have an opportunity to dip in the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, this is the last pause we have to deal with. You know, I think our guys are hypersensitive walking around on, you know, pins and needles with, you know, the pauses we've had to take. So, you know, let's hope that we can, you know, stay continuous in terms of practice days and games and, you know, make the most of those opportunities that, as you said, aren't as many as they were a month ago. So, you know, it's been a strange and wild ride and, you know, we're starting to, as crazy as it sounds, we're starting to get almost everybody back. And, you know, now we just need some continuity and hopefully we can make the most of our opportunities.
Jody.
Chris, it was almost a year between real games that Malik was in there. And I know there was a lot of rust and it was the first game back, but were you a little surprised that he was where he was last week, that you were able to play him at all?
Well, I think, Jody, that's the time that he was really shooting for. How he was going to perform was a different question. But I thought that, you know, we would get him on the floor. Could have been Syracuse game, could have been North Carolina, just somewhere around the middle of February is what we were shooting for. And he never really has had any setbacks. His conditioning still has to get, you know, get all the way back. It's just different riding a bike or doing an elliptical and then playing. His timing certainly has to get back. But the voice that he has on the floor on both ends is a really good one. Strong leadership. He has great court awareness, but he also hasn't played with a few of the guys that are on the team, and so that's a challenge as well. But you know, the more we can put him out there, hopefully, the more normal it gets for him, and he can be a big part of this team down the stretch.
Jody, sorry, yeah, Spencer.
Chris, with the game Saturday night, is that something, do you even review that with the guys or considering what you guys kind of went through, you know, with the big layoff and everything in a couple of days, do you almost kind of throw that tape away and move on?
Well, I think you have to learn from it. And I think we had to show our guys some things that, you know, regardless of what our conditioning level was or you know, some of the things that maybe you need more practice time. I thought there were some things that we did on the floor that just, you know, whether you have no practice time at all, you can't give up free throw block out offensive rebounds like we did. You know, Carolina, you know, was, I don't know, 1-for-11, 2-for-11 from the free throw line at one point, but they kept on getting every miss back. And that can't happen. So we had to show our guys, you know, some of that film so that we can learn from it and they can see the mistakes that were made so that we can improve in those areas.
Tim?
Yeah, Chris. So Malik was on earlier and we asked him, or I asked him if he'd given any thought to coming back next year. I guess he's eligible, but at his age, do you think that's a realistic option? And would you encourage him to come back?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a realistic option. You know, he's been robbed of a whole year of basketball, you know, and his development is disrupted because he's concentrating on trying to get healthy. So we would love to have Malik back. He and I have talked about that. You know, I know that the decision is down the road and not one that he's going to make right now. And so he and I will work through that, you know, when that time comes. But, you know, there's no doubt we would love to have Malik back. He represents everything we want in our program. Wanted to earn his degree as well and, you know, leave here a better basketball player than when he got here.
Thank you.
Coach, thanks for the time. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
The guy just texted me and said, Tim Sullivan, the only media with the balls to ask the tough questions. I feel bad because I'm not trying to grill Chris Mack or suggest that he, you know, throw himself down in front of the railroad track and scream, mea culpa, mea culpa. But I was shocked. They asked him one question. They started asking about a game where they got beat by 45. I don't know. I guess I'm more used to being in New York. That the 45 point loss coming off a stretch where you had no players and is, you know, it's, I'm sorry, and you can say, what, that's not a big story? It's not, because they obviously weren't ready to play. So I mean, what are you gonna do? It wasn't like, well, if we'd started, you know, I don't know, pick another guy, we started you know, Minland, oh, it would have been a whole thing. There was nothing you're gonna do. That's where they were. But this thing, they've had COVID as much or more than any other team in the country. How many people were at the party? Was the athletic director there? You know, it was nice. He's the one asked the question Jerry Tipton asked about calling Calipari, which is good. I'm glad to hear that, because that's the other thing I looked at. There were three questions there, and I'm not grilling. I'm just curious. I'm a curious person. What was the reaction between Cal and him? And he talked about that. He called him, said Cal is very gracious. That's a good thing, because that's the thing I look at and say, listen, it's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye. I mean, you can hate the guy, you can hate the other team in the rivalry, but there has to be some degree of mutual respect there, or you don't have much of a rivalry. And so that was, he answered that. I'm not sure what else you can say. He said, I'm not going to share what his message was, but, you know, he talked about some things, and Chris was gracious about that. The other thing is, just the optics in general, and who was at the party. I mean, did you believe that was kind of setting a tone for the team, that's how they had so much such a bad time with COVID? I mean, you know, he said we have great respect for COVID. What does that mean? I mean, have they talked about it? You can say, you know, you're making too much of it, but like we have, you know, our kids over, and we don't mask. If there's just the four of us or the five of us, I mean, we are family. But I don't know. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to his neighbors or Eric Wood or anybody else. But I mean, if we had somebody come over that was a neighbor walk in the house, I said, yeah, you're damn right, we'd be masking. Sorry, I'm not going to die over this stupid thing. So I'm just curious about that. What you know, when your team goes through all the battles, do you look back on it and say, yeah, I wish we'd done more? You know, do you say, hey, I've done, you know, Lauren Jones from Wave said she took every precaution she could take, and she got it, and, you know, it was a bad battle for her, so that's what I'd be curious.
I'd be honest, I'm not trying to sound like, you know, I made my mistakes
I'm not done. So I'm saying, would the question there be, we did everything we could, and then we, you know, I look back on it and say, I got to be honest with you, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I don't know what else we could have done. All right, fine, I'm not accusing, I'm curious, that's what I would ask. I would ask about those parts of it. And then, you know, the part about the discipline, that's a tough question. I mean, and that one obviously annoyed him a little bit, which was, well, you know, it's not my position to say that, but they threw kids out of school for doing this. He said, I didn't throw a big party. Okay, what was the difference? Again, not accusing, just enlighten us. What did you see as the difference between this and what those people did? Was it theirs was an open door, and they had a lot more people, and you controlled who was in? And I mean, nobody asked anything. Sullivan asked one question, then they asked, how do you think Malik looked? I mean, I don't know. That's fine. I'm surprised. That's. I'll leave it at that. I feel bad because if Chris is listening or somebody, I'm sure. Oh, would you want them to grill me? No. That's the exact opposite. Just that's your chance to let's get everything out and answer it and be done. And then, like you say, you want to move on, but they didn't ask anything. And to me, that's a way bigger story than a team that obviously couldn't prepare with all the challenges that came their way. Do you think, you know, the COVID thing derailed their season a little bit? Well, when you look back on it, was this an indication they didn't? You say you have great respect for it, but if you look back, do you think that you didn't take as many precautions as you could, or are you kidding? I can't begin to tell you all the things we didn't. All right, whatever. But nobody even asked it. Nobody even asked it. So I mean, all right, now what were you going to say, Nick? I mean, weren't you surprised? One question I was waiting to see, okay, what's going to follow? And then they went right into the 45-point blowout.
Well, I was just chiming in with Lauren Jones saying that, you know, she was trying pretty hard. The same thing. I mean, I really thought I was doing a pretty good job with the whole precautions thing, you know, at work, masking up and everything like that. But, you know, it still got me. But a question that I want to ask you, and I'm not trying to put my opinion on this at all. I want to get your opinion on it. I think the question that Sully asked was a good one. About the, you know, the punishment and stuff. But, I mean, what's a guy kind of supposed to say there? That's kind of a tough... I don't know what the answer is. I feel like that was almost sort of a when did you stop beating your wife question. I don't know what the right response was. I think it was a good question, but I don't know what's he supposed to say there.
We talked about it, Vince and I, and it's, you know... And while I could have handled this better, I don't think it's a good analogy, Tim, because the soccer party, as I understand it, was dozens of people and kind of an open door, no control who was coming in. This was a very small group, and I didn't think, you know, it was 8 people, it was 10 people, it was 6 people. I don't know, that we still never know who was there, you know, and so we could have been more careful with that small group, but I think that was, you know, that was... I don't think the analogy is the same. Or I don't know what they're going to do. We haven't discussed that yet. That's up to the athletic director. But you could tell that question kind of annoyed him. And I get it. As a coach, anything bad that happens, you just want to put in a rearview mirror and forget about it. But, you know, the COVID may very well derail their season. You know, it Clemson said that, and they've been fighting it ever since, and Louisville's had it worse than anybody else, and you see something like that, and you say, do you look back on it and say, you know, gosh, I wish I had to do it all over again? Or do you say, listen, we just, like Lauren Jones, I did it right, I knew to do. I don't know. That's a legitimate question. And so the legitimate question, Vince and I discussed it, and here's what we said. Or I'm not at liberty to disclose this, but we think there were substantial differences, and so I could have done it better. But I don't think it's an exact analogy. But he just kind of got annoyed and said, "No, it's not my place to say anything." So what does that mean? There may still be discipline coming. What did that mean exactly? That's what I'm saying.
Follow up question. Don't get mad at me. I got some texts and calls. Please, if you can adjust your mic, please do it. If you can't, don't worry about it.
Text and calls saying what?
That your mic's going in and out. So I don't know.
Well, because I've got a million things, I'm trying to avoid breathing into it. I'm trying not to blow my own brains out. I'm never adjusting the knobs at the beginning of the show again. By the way, ever. It's either done before we come on the air, or we're not doing it because it only creates way more problems. So just not being nasty, just telling you, and I'm never doing it again.
All right, fine. Well, I'm just being the messenger. I'm just passing it along. If it's true, or if it comes out, and I don't know, a caller said, parent said it this morning, and I didn't hear it. Like I said, I heard the Europe discussion, and I heard some of the other things they talked about. I did not hear this one, so sorry, PJ. I hope I'm not putting anyone in an awkward spot. But he said that Tyree was at the party, was at the little shindig. I mean, he is a neighbor.
Let me cut you off right there, because in hindsight, I wish I hadn't said that, because that was very shoddy. That's a very serious thing to say, and to say it because you had a listener say he heard it and you didn't hear it and you haven't been able to confirm it, we should never have discussed that. That was, and we shouldn't even mention Perrin's name, because you don't know. Did he say it privately? I mean, you're going.
I'm going by
attributing something to him that we have no verification.
Okay. Well, fine. If it comes out that does he owe anybody an explanation?
Yes, if he was at that party, I think Vince absolutely should be, answer some questions. I mean, again, when you know, whenever you hear somebody wants to ask you questions, oh, you're looking for trouble. Yeah, I'm not looking for any trouble at all. I'm just saying that it's a legitimate source to you really want to put it in the rearview mirror, talk about it, address it, and then move on with it. Don't. We talked about this part of it, but not that part. This part, but not that part. And then it's going to linger because then people are going to say, all right, well, it's good to know he called Cal and they seemingly didn't have a problem with that. Great. We can put that one to bed, especially if Cal says the same thing. Yeah, I talked to him. It's fine. Okay, great. But this, who was there? Why, you know, in the middle of all that, when they suspended people for another sport for having a party, what's the difference? The number of people? That's a legitimate question. That's all it is. And then, you know, you can doesn't. There's no reason to criticize because we don't know what went on. So nobody's looking for trouble. Just, you know, put it to bed. And that's, you know, you could tell they wanted to get it over with. Kenny shut it down in a hurry there, right? I mean, he didn't do that usual one more for Coach Mac. He was just like, that's it, we're done. And so I don't think that helps as much as it can. I know that sometimes you think if you made a mistake, you just say, I made a mistake, and you move on. You can't ever explain it enough to people's satisfaction, but I think that could have been you could have given a few more answers without throwing yourself on the train tracks and screaming mea culpa. That's all I'm saying. So that's my opinion. That's all. It's not trying to take Chris to task or Vince to task or anybody to task. It's just my observation about it. That's all.
All right. I tend to agree with you that I think that maybe there was a there was more of a middle ground there. I don't think that was necessarily a full-on militant, like, you know, we didn't do anything wrong, man, you know, reaction to it. I liked the Calipari thing, but I did think that there was a teeny tiny little bit, and I hope I don't come off as, because I always hate it when someone says it to me in an argument, but there was a teeny tiny bit of the apology of, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Well, he said that very thing. If I offended somebody.
Yeah, and that's just one of those things where...
See, that's what I mean. That's a good analogy. Because the question is, so you don't think you did anything wrong? Then say that. Then just stand up and say, I don't think I did anything wrong. Or say, you know, as I look back, I should have done A, B, and C. And I apologize. But the if anybody was offended thing is not... I agree with you. It's never an apology when you say that. You're stupid. Hey, you don't talk that way to your brother. You apologize. Okay, I'm sorry you're stupid. That's not an apology. So that's what I mean. And I'm not saying he owes everybody an apology. Again, I'm just... I walked out of there with as many questions as I had when I went in, other than the one about Cal. That one was addressed, and that's good. I'm glad. That was professional. That was the thing to do if you were a professional. Let's call him. You know, I'll tell you what, there's a follow-up question on that, if you want to know the truth. Did he do that on his own, or did Vince ask him to? Vince is his boss, whether you like it or not. Were any things that he did a product of Vince? Was it his idea to address this at the media today? Did Vince ask him to? Did Vince ask him to call Cal? These are all questions that, I'm sorry, I know I'm going to get yelled at because I'm a media guy here too, and I'm not trying to piss off my brethren, but how did nobody ask any of those questions? I'm stunned at that. Am I wrong?
No, I did. I mean, I do think there's stories that need to, you know, that from the basketball game, the loss. I'm sorry, it's a bad loss. I understand the reasoning for it. I don't think you need to necessarily run around and go into full panic mode. Malik makes his season debut. There's questions about the basketball game. I don't think there's anything wrong about asking that, but I do think that this presser, it should have been 80-20. The video, as opposed to
2080
the other way around.
It was.
Yeah, so I do think that. Now, it's been confirmed by Diener and other callers. One caller said that it wasn't said on the air, but I have it confirmed by Diener himself, and I'm trying to track down the sound. So I apologize for bungling this at all, but Diener has confirmed that Perrin did say it on the air. So Tyree was at the.
Then you can give him attribution because he said it on the air. Then he owned, as they teach us in Bristol, he owns the words. So I'm glad. Thank you. Drew just sent me a comment, which I don't know if he wants to make public, so I won't respond, but thank you for that. I appreciate it, because, like I said, I'm not trying to be harsh or anything. I'm just very, that was my honest reaction. And if you're not going to be honest with your audience, then what the hell is the sense of having a show? So that's all I was saying. I'm not trying to, you know, not trying to chop anybody down or cause problems. I when the thing started and Tim asked the question, and when that, and next thing you know, it was a short question. Chris gave him kind of short answer, and then that was it. And then we were on to the game, which I was just very surprised. So anyway, that's that. So I still have as many things I wonder about that as before, other than the relationship that, you know, he called Cal, and I think that was, and as I said, if you really want, there's some questions you could ask about that even. You know, did somebody suggest he do that? Did he do it on his own? Was that his reaction when he saw it? He was like, oh, crap, I got to call Cal. I don't know. And, you know, maybe he wouldn't say that because it may come across as, in his mind, I got to call Cal like he's Big Daddy. No, I don't mean it that way. It's just it's a professional courtesy. I've done that. Or I've said something, and then, you know, I as I read it in print the next day, I was like, ooh, I didn't mean it that way. And I called the guy and said, listen, dude, you may see this article, and if you do, this is how I meant it. And the guy, most of the times, when you do that, guys know it. They've been through it. So they say, yeah, that's fine. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the courtesy. And you go back about your business. So it doesn't mean one guy's in a dominant role or anything. It's just you say something publicly, you know, you own the words. And that's the same thing with parents. So thank you for confirming that, Drew, because if he says it, he owns the words. So, no, you can quote him, and you can give a name to it. You know, that's all. Sometimes we've had people tell us things in the newsroom, for example, and then, you know, they say it because they're just talking among friends. And if they don't tell you, hey, don't say this, you can possibly say, I heard from a credible person. But when you really shouldn't use their name unless you know they're trying to speak publicly. So that's kind of how that thing plays out. So there you go. All right, let's get a break in, and we'll come back and march you to the top. Yeah, we'll do our one lukewarm leftover. We won.
There we go.
What now?
No, I was going to say, yeah, we got to do that. I think, yeah, we're coming.
Yeah, we both won on Friday.
Little star frame there.
So that was good. Once again, I think it was Rick who didn't let me down. Patino, it was. It definitely was. So he's won two games for me right now. So we'll update you on that. We'll do our lukewarm leftover pick. And there's some good games on a Monday night, so we'll take a look at that as well. So thanks for being with us on this Monday edition of the V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, here's what's happened Friday. The fabulous Mike Pratt selected Dayton plus 5.5. They were getting 5.5 points against St. Louis, and they won by 23. How about that for a good pick? And then, so that made the big-headed monsters now 12-6. Keep in mind, all these are against the spread. We really should open up. Call me the 1-800 number. It's the game of the week. I'm telling you, there's nothing better. It's a lock. Call us. 12-6 is pretty good. And not so shabby are the pizza-loving Paisans, my team. We took Iona, and we were laying 2 points, and they won by... How many did they win by? They won by... 5. So we covered that one, and they are now, so the pizza-loving Paisans are 11-7, and the big-headed monsters are 12-6, and pizza-headed monsters, pizza-loving Paisans are basically me, and if I'm out, a guest host can pick, but I think I've picked all these. The big-headed monsters have been a combination here of the graduate Jack when he was in the producer's chair, and Mike Pratt does it on Fast Break Friday, and the big-headed producer himself, which is why there are a lot of hockey picks in this. But
yes,
we'll see. Oh my goodness, people are calling me, and thank you, by the way, to all our listeners. People calling me and telling me where to go. Very funny. Put that in the mixtape to get the shot. So. I will take you up on all these suggestions, folks. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I really do not want to go to Bristol for the ACC tournament without getting the first shot anyway. So we'll see. So thank you for that.
The boys have cut up Chris Mack, so if you want to replay any of that to end the show, we have that in the holster. But, yeah, we should probably do our lukewarm leftover right now.
This is a great text, and I'm glad somebody sent it, because I want to address it. This one says, I'm pretty sure the soccer players organized a large open party. Not excusing what happened with Coach Mack, but how many people have had a few people at their homes and always been masked? I know that I'd have no right to cast stones. That's exactly my point. So say that. So come out and say, you know, in hindsight, knowing how much this has affected our team, maybe even that small group, I should have asked them to be masked. But we only had 8 people over, and it was a very select group of people. And so that's why, you know, nobody's trying to dump on the kids, but that's a vast difference from, okay, then say it. I don't think anybody's going to fight with you. But we don't know. I don't know. Maybe he had 30 people there. I don't know. I don't think he did, but I mean, who knows?
Well, that was the story. That was the story the soccer players had, where they said that it was just supposed to be a team gathering, and then it had, I mean, just like any '80s, you know, early '90s sitcom, where you know, Stevie tries to throw a party while his parents are away, and then it turns into a rager, and he has to clean it up before his parents get home. That's kind of what, you know, it seemed like happened with the soccer team. At least that was the story they presented, and they still said, "Yep, tell your story, walking."
Well, because that's the whole point, is unless that's, again, though, that's the old yeah, but. When we just got through saying, do you realize how serious this is? Yeah, we do. Okay, well, then you can't leave that margin for error. And the
and that's fair.
Team evidently did. And so the question is, did they? Was it just 8 people or something? And, okay, then, you know, still you can say, well, you know what, in hindsight, damn it, we probably should have even been more careful, because the optics of it look like we're just falling all over each other with no masks. Great. Then, you know, I think people could say that and say, listen, everybody's probably been in a situation that they look back and say, you know what, I should have worn a mask there. And that's fine. But we don't know. We don't know. We still don't know who was there. I mean, we don't know how many people were there. We don't know if Vince was there. To me, that's a legitimate question. Not because we're trying to play gotcha, just because we're trying to figure out what the hell happened. That's all. So, anyway, that's what I... But thank you for the text. Very reasonable, rational text. I love those. You can have good discussions with people who are reasonable and rational. So, there's that. All right. Let's take a look at what... let's go see what we got here. Well, do you have any idea what you're going to pick? Are you going to delve into the world of football? I mean, hockey again today, or
maybe I should start betting on the fan controlled football league. Maybe that'll be my, or maybe some FCS football. No,
well, we may do it. We may pick an FCS.
Yeah, that'd be actually FCS would be kind of fun. That'd be. Do you have any thoughts on Deion Sanders' big win over the weekend? By the way,
I don't know. We'll see. I can't tell if he can coach from one game, but good for him. I mean, I just don't want somebody to get a job who is not really serious about coaching just because they're a great player. I think that's a shame. You got a lot of people who've given their lives to the career, and just because you're a big name, we've seen a bunch of people fall on their faces because of that reason. I'm sorry, I'm fighting that dry mouth thing again, so if I don't drink, whew, sorry about that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the Isaiah Thomases and the Clyde Drexlers, but, you know, we're watching Juwan Howard's doing great. And you know, we'll see how Stackhouse, and same thing with Deion. So I imagine they scheduled him kind of a bop in the first game so he'd get a win. So let's see how they do, but good for him. It's all over in Virginia, by the way. They had one of those fantastic matinee games, Liberty beats North Alabama, 18-5 now for Liberty, and they win 74-54. So there you go. What was the spread on that game? I'll bet you there was a spread on it.
I'm not liking this game.
Liberty by 16. So did they cover? They did. They covered by 4. So
how about them
Liberty
Flames?
Laying the points. You are the winners. All right. So here's the games tonight. Eastern Kentucky plays at 3 today. They're laying 5 against Southeast Missouri State on the road. So I'll avoid that because that's a road game. At least I think it is. It's hard to tell where all these are being played. You never know. Let's see what else we got. We got any Power 7s? I know we do, because I've got one tonight. I've got Syracuse and Duke. I would never pick that game. I like Joe Theismann. I would never pick a game that I'm going to broadcast, but just for what it's worth, Duke's a 6-point favorite over Syracuse in North Carolina. Let's see. Who else we got? The Texas Tech takes on Oklahoma State. Texas Tech is laying 3.5 against Oklahoma State. That's going to be an interesting game. USC at home laying 4 against Oregon. That could be an intriguing game as well. And, we'll see about the NBA also. But those are the marquee games, if you want to call it that. Let me get my little Sagarin table up here to help us out and see if we can pick a good one. So we got a nice little run going here. We are combined 23-10. That's not so bad against the spread, folks.
No, not at all. Man, this is... I don't know why I'm leaning towards this one, but God, Texas
Tech basketball. Or are you back in the ring?
No. I feel like I need to at least try my hand at basketball, though.
No, you don't. When you're betting money, you don't care. Bet tiddlywinks if you keep winning.
That's a good cares? Point. I don't know. The Texas Tech Oklahoma State game. I don't know. I'm reading previews and they're saying to take Texas Tech laying three, but I also read that, you know, they're 3-6 against the spread on the road. They're coming off a Kansas loss, and you know, especially in football, you always say that take a team coming off a road loss to kick ass at home. Yeah, but I don't know about on the road. And man, this one, I don't know. I like Cade Cunningham. He's a stud. But my gut is telling me Oklahoma State in that one. I really think that they're going to win that one outright.
Texas Tech is 86.6. Oklahoma State is 84.27. But if you build in the home court advantage, and there is still a home court advantage, albeit it's a little smaller than usual, this game would be a pick 'em. So you really should take Oklahoma State in the points if you go by that.
That's like they're saying that Texas Tech's going to get the dub. Like a couple of previews I read. You know what? I'm stupid. I'm going to go for it. I'm saying Oklahoma. I'm taking Oklahoma State.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. You may.
I'll take Oklahoma State in the points. I'm not going to go completely crazy and say that they're going to win outright. Although there's a teeny part of me that thinks that, but I'd be lying if I said I was an expert on both of these teams. But I've seen a little bit from them, and I don't know. I just. I'm a little up on Oklahoma State right now.
Oklahoma State plus 3.5 is your pick. Let's see. I'm leaning towards USC, to be honest with you, but they're pretty good. We got a big kid that's really good. I've only seen like a half of one of their games. But they're 85.4. Oregon is 84.6. They're playing at home, so you'd add 2 to it, so they should be a 3-point favorite. And they're laying 4. I know that sounds crazy, but that 1 point could be a difference. I don't know. We'll keep that on the back burner. We'll see.
Which game did you call over the weekend, by the way?
I had Kansas.
You had Kansas and Texas Tech, right?
I did.
So any thoughts on that game? Or any going back to my bet, you got any takeaways from that?
Both of them are a little bit offensively challenged. Well, I mean, they both, but I mean, McClung's a terrific player. They both have a lot of balance, but Texas Tech gets a lot of their points off their defense. They have to be able to turn you over. And Kansas really is not great offensively either, although they're better than they were early in the year because of David McCormick, the big kid in the middle. I can't believe how far he's come. It's unbelievable. He's made such strides. But I'm telling you, I'm going to have a hard time. For the NCAA tournament starts with matchups of teams that look like, oh, they're pretty even. I'm going to take the one with the better offense. The game has evolved into an offensive game, and if you don't have an offensive game, you're going to have a team. Obviously, you could be okay offensively, but you know what I mean. Where their better strength is, and look at Tennessee. Tennessee is a team that has been not great offensively, but defensively they've had constant effort, and they're a good defensive team, but because their offense is they're not blessed with a great offense. Their season has been up and down and sideways and this way and that way. Kentucky's main problem is offensively. When they play good offensively, they look like world beaters, but they can't sustain that because they're really not a great offensive team. Now, Kansas looks better offensively than they did early, but they're still not great either. So I don't know. All I can tell you is, but they're well coached. They play hard. You know, they've got some good frontline players. I mean, McClung's terrific, although he wasn't very good Sunday, or Saturday rather. So I don't know if he doesn't play. If they don't, they got to shoot the ball a little bit, especially against Kansas. Kansas has some guys who can make some threes. So they didn't make very many shots, and that's what cost them. So I don't know what to make of it. Do they bounce back? You know, the Fred Calgill bounce theory. If you do, then you should like Texas Tech because they should play a lot better this time. But Oklahoma State is right there with them. If you go by the Sagger, it's the pick 'em, and they're getting 3.5 points at home. So it's not a terrible pick, to be honest with you. It's not a terrible pick at all.
Well, you said I'm trying to look this up, and yeah, the previews I was reading on it say the offensive numbers are pretty much the same. But you said Texas Tech gets a lot of their points off off turnovers. So I'm trying to see where Oklahoma State ranks with turnovers nationally, and maybe they're
still got the game notes. Texas Tech ranks fourth in the country in turnover margin. They force six more turnovers a game than their opposition, and they are among the national leaders in steals per game. They average 7.2 steals per game. And they are fifth in the country in free throws made per game. So they've got to get steals, get in the open court, draw a foul. You know, one of the reasons Bill Self told me that they are so good at creating turnovers is Texas Tech takes like five charges a game. And, you know, Kansas did a good job of playing off 2 feet on Saturday and avoided those charges, but not everybody's going to do that. So if they can do that, I mean, that's a big head start. It's starting the game with five, six extra possessions for them. And they have an advantage from the free throw line. They're making 17 free throws a game. That's a lot. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, like I said, I haven't seen Oklahoma State, so I don't know. It's not like they're unguardable, Texas Tech, and you're getting 3.5 points at home. So, we'll see.
Oklahoma State does turn over the ball a little bit more than average.
Well, the game's not started yet. You can take your pick, change your pick.
No. I'm gonna stay with them, but that does play into Texas Tech's favor a little bit. So I'm gonna stay with them.
All right, I'm gonna go with USC and lay the four.
Wow, we're kind of going out west,
huh?
We're kind of going collectively out west a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of Power Five games tonight, and especially if you don't take the ACC. That's one of the reasons they moved the Oklahoma State-Texas Tech game. I was supposed to do that game tomorrow. That's how crazy the schedule is. I was supposed to do Duke and Syracuse tonight with Kesty, and then I was supposed to do Texas Tech and Oklahoma State tomorrow with Kesty. And for TV contract reasons, they moved the Texas Tech-Oklahoma State game to tonight. So they've let us do doubleheaders in the past, but poor Sean Kelly did a college game with me on Saturday, an NBA game Sunday. He's got another game to do with me tonight, and he has COVID. So I think they were like, that's a little too much. So they gave Kesty the game tonight with another analyst. I'm not even sure who he's working with. But they had some contractual reason they had to move the game to tonight. I'm not entirely sure. I guess there was some stuff canceled tonight that was supposed to be part of a big Monday or something. I don't know. But that's the way it is in the world of COVID right now. It's bizarro land. So that's where we are. Anyway, so you've got Oklahoma State plus 3.5. I've got USC laying four, not on my super confidence scale. Not feeling great about that, but we'll see how it plays out. Pacers, by the way, NBA fans, their game's postponed tonight against the Spurs. The NBA still fighting the COVID battle going on there. So we'll see what happens as they try and just plod through it. And John Feinstein said, he sent a tweet out, this is the single thing that really still concerns me about the NCAA tournament, is I'm a guy that likes numbers. That's why I like sports games. That's why I like Stratomatic. I like to look at numbers. And he brought this up, and to me, it's a valid point, but I mean, again, if you want to find a reason to refute it, you can. I'll even show you how I would refute it if I were in the interest of just trying to argue both sides here. But Feinstein said, and he's right about this, Feinstein is 19 games were postponed or canceled. This was yesterday. 19 games were postponed or canceled today. No, it's actually for today. What do we think the chances are of getting through 67 NCAA tournament games unscathed? I mean, there were 19 games canceled out of a schedule of... let me count them for you. I'm sorry, I know it's not fun to count on the air, but let me do it real fast. Division I games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So there were 19 canceled out of roughly 50 and change. So if it's 19 out of 50 out of 67 games, you may be looking at 25 games being canceled. How the hell are they going to make those up? Now let me argue the other side of it. These are all games in wildly different locations. teams having to travel from where they just were to the game site. You know, all of those things going on that are not going to happen at the NCAA tournament. They're going to bring everybody there, and then nobody's moving, and they're playing all in one location. So that's got to be the hope that they have. But I do think it's going to be very unlikely that you're going to get through this thing without a game being missed. And I'm wondering what they're going to do. I mean, I really am wondering what they're going to do. I just don't think you can get away with a forfeit. And if you don't get away with a forfeit, you're going to be doing something that's inherently unfair to somebody. I mean, if I'm supposed to play you on a Thursday and we have COVID and we delay the game till Tuesday of the following week and then we play it, and that team, whoever wins, whether it's my team or yours, well, more importantly, let's say it's yours because you didn't have COVID. You didn't do anything wrong. You're perfectly healthy, and you play on that Tuesday, and then you win. Now you're supposed to turn around and play that Thursday against the team that, you know, played Saturday. It's got three more days rest. It's not – and you didn't do anything wrong. So how's that fair to you? And if you say, well, then, you know, that's true. That's not fair. Then the alternative is I have to forfeit. And if I don't know, I don't think people are going to be that comfortable about that. Especially, imagine the tournament if Baylor has to forfeit or Gonzaga has to forfeit. Are you kidding me? I mean, whoever wins that championship is going to have people just nobody will ever mention it, the championship, without mentioning the fact they didn't play against, have to go through one of the two best teams in the country for the whole season. So I really am. Dying to know if there's some secret contingency plan they've got up their sleeve. I mean, that they're just going to keep the teams there to finish the tournament however long it takes. You know, if you lose, get the heck out. But if you win and the other team has to cancel, they're going to push everything back on that side of the bracket and delay everybody. I don't know. I really don't know. They're Johnny tight-lipping it sounds like, and just hoping to God they're not going to have to make that decision. I don't know. All right, we've got about 2-3 minutes left. See if we got any texts that have come in you want to use. We try and use this time to clean up the text plate, and I'll see if there's any.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good I was trying to find a good Phil bite because I'm still convinced that he sounds like Peter Burns. But I need to find a good cut of him talking for like 10 seconds. Let's see here. Sorry, it's taking a little while to load here. Let's see. I wonder what Calipari's advice was. Do it again and you'll end up in the trunk of an 85 caddy at the bottom of the river. Going a little Italian on him there. Let's see here. A lot of people, yes, confirming, and we confirmed it, that Perrin did say it about 8:50, I think. And kudos to saying it, Perrin. That was said on the Diener show that, yes, Vince Tyree was at the same get-together. Texter saying he owned it. What else do you want from him? And I think we covered that. Let's see here. Mac did nothing wrong. A couple people defending it. Here's something. There were a couple. It's pretty much even. I'd say just at least on the text line of people saying that, you know, hey, this isn't a good look. And then other people saying that, hey, you apologized. I don't really see anything wrong with it. You just said this when it comes to what are they going to do involving forfeits and whatnot. And you said something. You said that, you know, if Team A doesn't have any forfeits, but Team B does, you know, Team A didn't do anything wrong. And I feel like I know you weren't like saying it like to cause a ruckus or anything like that. But going back with what Lauren Jones said and my own personal experience of it, you could be doing everything right and still get this thing. So I feel like, you know, it might not be behoove everybody, or you could make a real justification that, hey, we did our best. We did our absolute best, and we still got nailed with this thing. You shouldn't really hold that against us. However, not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but when you have that, what happened in the Mac video, and you have a team that has been absolutely ravaged with COVID, I mean, more than probably or as much as any Power 5 team, could then, rightly or wrongly, a committee be like, you know what, they were kind of reckless this year. And I'm not saying they were by any stretch, but optically, and I mean, let's be honest, I, you know, and this might be my fan hat coming on here, Louisville, I still think puts a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. So if you were to drop a bag of hammers again, I mean, Louisville's kind of used to that. Am I right?
Well, I think, you know, to your point at the beginning, it's a very valid point. You can get this and not have done anything even remotely considered careless. That's a fair point. So I shouldn't have used the terms didn't do anything wrong. But you would have to say the cause of the delay was because of Team 2, not Team 1. So why should Team 1 have to pay the price for Team 2 causing the game to be delayed? That's a better way of saying it rather than like we're assigning blame. That's a fair point. So I think that's true. The second point you make, I don't think they're going to. For you to do that, you would be doing a very serious allegation and determination of a team, as I said, now having fault in this. And I don't think anybody's going to be comfortable doing that on the fly in the NCAA tournament. Oh, you guys have. Let's go back and see if you were careless or missed something. Nobody's going to want to be in that situation. Nobody could do that well, so they're not going to do it on that. They're not going to say, well, this team got it, and it's their fault, so we're punishing them. This team got it, but it isn't their fault, so we're not going to punish them. They're going to have to come up with just a protocol for what they're going to do if somebody determines it's somebody has got it and they're going to have to delay a game or cancel a game. What are they going to do? The third thing is, if you want to say they didn't do anything wrong, my guess is that's a political thing. You know, you're an anti-masker and the whole thing and staying in your house, and that's fine. We beat that thing to death months ago. But that's not my point. My point is not to assign blame. The guy says he owned it. What do you want him to do? No, that's not what it's about. It's about getting answers to what went on. You say he owned it. How many people were at the party? Who was there? Who was invited? You know, how does it differ from the soccer party? I'm hoping it does. I'm not suggesting it doesn't. But how do you know all of those things? And all of this, so many things that were not answered yet. It's not about trying to belabor it, or it's trying to understand what transpired, why it transpired, and then go on. And, you know, I'm not suggesting he's got to I said this 20 times already, that he's got to go throw himself on the train tracks and yell, mea culpa, you know, and make a human sacrifice. But when he says, well, I'm sorry if I offended somebody, does that mean he doesn't think he really did anything wrong? In other words, I didn't do anything wrong, but okay, if you got offended, I'm sorry. Or, yeah, I could have done it better. He said, I got to learn from it and do better. Okay, how do you have to do better? But by doing what? Was it just the optics of the thing or not have a party like that? What did that mean? Nobody asked any questions. That's all. But nobody's trying to torture the guy or say, you know, he did something, you know, wrong. But by the same token, you know, you coming out and saying, well, nobody did anything wrong, it tells you more about your political views, I think, than actually what you're seeing here, because you don't know what the hell happened. Again, I'm not trying to find something wrong. Nobody's trying to play gotcha. Just if you really want to put it to bed, you got to answer all the questions about it. That's all. That's all. The three things were, how does it affect the relationship with Kentucky, whether you like it or not? And he answered that. He called Cal. Cal supposedly said, hey, don't worry about it. Great. That's a wonderful thing. Secondly, what did the party consist of exactly? And if it was not a good thing to do, for what reason? What are you saying that you say you should have done better? What does that mean? So he's okay, he really learned from us. Or is this an indication that they didn't take it very seriously and that's why they've been hit as much as any team in the country? Tell us why. That's all. It's a legitimate question. That's all it is. And the third thing is, you know, when he said, well, I don't know if there's, when they asked, you know, they disciplined the soccer players, the discipline come from you? And he said, well, that's not my decision. Does that mean there may be something still coming from Vince Tyree, or they've talked about it, or, you know, I don't know what that answer meant exactly. So that's all. That's all it is. Those are things that could be answered and help put the thing in the rearview mirror. That's it. We're done. See you tomorrow.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.